As you know, we've been looking at this whole series called CrossFit in 2020. We've looked at what it means to be fit, F-I-T, as it relates to Jesus and the cross. And so we looked at the letter F, the letter I, and the letter T. F stands for faithful. We know that faith is God's gift, his seed gift to us. And our faithfulness to him is our gift back to him. We looked at the letter I, which stood for intentional, and that God actually says he's given us two vehicles to help us stay in line with him. How those lines on the roads help us stay in the right path, the right lane. God gives us two vehicles to make sure that we're aligned with him, and we have to intentionally be people of praise and people of prayer. We looked at seven different scriptures that talked about how those two are often combined together to make sure that we're intentionally at all times in an attitude of praise or an attitude of prayer. A couple weeks ago, we began to look at the letter T, transformational. I had no idea back in January, actually even before that, when God put this series, this teaching on my heart, how the word transformational would be so important, because what's happening in our society right now? Everything we know, every norm, every routine has been put upside down. It's actually, we're in transition. We're in some kind of a change. And so many people are saying, I don't know what the next normal is going to be. And I find it very, very ironic, a very God thing, that he has helped us understand that we are supposed to be people of who are being conformed and transformed day by day by day. We try to work on what this word transformation means and spiritual transformation. And we talked about how every day there are two people in charge of your spiritual transformation. Again, it's the Holy Spirit living within each believer, and his number one priority in your life is not to bless you. I got to just tell you up front, that's not his number one priority. His number one goal is to conform you, transform you, change you into the image of Jesus, to be Christ-like, to be Christian. And so as day by day goes, week by week goes, COVID-19 or not, every day God's got an agenda to form you like clay, putting you into the image. And that's being transformational. There are two sides, there are two forces that are every day working, two people. And that first person is God himself. He is in charge of your transformation. So we see on the screen, you got God's role of our transformation. The verse that we're anchoring to is out of Philippians chapter 1:6. Paul said the very first phrase, "For I am convinced that God..." It's like, I know that I know is really what the Greek word would translate, but it doesn't come across in our English language. I know that I know that God, who began a good work in you, he will carry it through. Who's responsible to keep your life being transformed? God. He will carry it through to completion, to the day of Christ's return. And just as important in your spiritual transformation is your role. And so you got these two people in charge of helping you to become what God wants you to become. And we use Paul's letter to the Romans, who were under great persecution. The church in Rome was under a great pressure from society and culture. He wrote to them in the 12th chapter, 2nd verse, he says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world anymore, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind," or some translations will say, by the renewing of your thinking. Then, or the consequence, the result, then you'll be able to test and to approve what God's will is. You ever wonder if God is behind this whole COVID-19? Is this part of God's will? Well, if you have the mind of Christ in you and you are being conformed and transformed by the renewal of your thinking, you're thinking about these things. Could God possibly be working today, or is God on some vacation in Tijuana somewhere? Well, I don't know if he'd go to Tijuana, but maybe Tahiti. Now, here's the result. Once you have God's mind in you and you're allowing him to think, have God thoughts, you will be able to test and to approve what God's will is. And his will for you is always good, pleasing, and perfect. So two people are responsible for your spiritual transformation. And I believe transformation takes more transformation takes place in these difficult days, the days of struggle and need, than it does when everything's on cruise control in our life. But it seems like today, for the last 2 weeks, and we're entering into our third week now of this COVID-19 crisis, it actually seems like there's two forces trying to come in and help conform us or change us or to modify our behavior, and that is the force of fear and the force of faith. And I talked with you about how fear and faith both have unique paths of affecting you. They both have a strategy of transforming who you are. Now, you see on your screen, last week you talked about fear's path of transformation. We understand that first, fear's path says it's going to give you a feeling. And fear is what? It's a feeling. And that feeling gives into thinking, and then that thinking will give into behavior. One word, toilet paper. For some reason, someone planted the idea that we're going to run out of toilet paper. And so what does everybody fear most when they have to go to the restroom? That there's enough toilet paper. Now, one of the I haven't read on the symptoms of having COVID-19, I haven't read that you have bowel issues. But for some reason, someone said there's going to be a shortage on toilet paper. And the feeling of fear transformed into some toxic thinking that as soon as you had fear, you said, oh, I've got to get all the toilet paper I can, because if I don't, someone else will grab all the toilet paper. And when you went to Costco and Sam's Club and you bought 20 cases of double-ply toilet paper, what did you do to the rest of us? Our fear doubled. Our thinking began to go crazy. And so when you got toxic thinking, that leads to what? Crazy behavior. And so that's fear's way of transforming you day by day. But there's an opposite things happening. Now, the spirit inside of you says, now, wait a minute. That's not the path I want you to go down, because faith path of transformation starts off with number one, and we're understanding this, with good thinking. Do you see that on the screen? Good thinking. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. From the Spirit of God, who is constantly transforming our minds, renewing our thinking. And so faith says, think about this. Do you really think the world is going to be sold out of toilet paper? Positive, good, healthy thinking, then it leads you to good behavior. Ah, I don't have to fear about this. God says he's going to take care of the sparrows, and how much more does he love me than a sparrow? And I know that my neighbor, or at least Doug, he'll give me some of his toilet paper if I need toilet paper. I just have to ask. Thinking, good thinking, produces good behavior. And when you're thinking right and you don't have toxic behavior, what's the result? I feel good. God's got this. I don't have to worry about that. Now, it's a silly illustration of toilet paper, but do you think Edna and Ginger can go down this same path? They too. They can fight the battle of going down fear's path, and we understand that. But the spirit inside both those ladies are saying, but wait a minute. Let's consider going down faith's path. And so that's what we're here. And it's okay if you feel like you're on this teeter-taw. Remember being on those teeter-taws, all right? And you always wanted to pick that person who was about the same mass as you. And so what happens is, I know a lot of believers, and I am the same way, between faith and fear, faith and fear. And I'm easily tossed back and forth until God says, now, wait a minute, let me get on with you and let me even out this fear. You don't need, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but of faith. That's sound mind. Remember thinking? So that's what we are. We understand. We're going back and forth. And that's what I want to remind you today is, it's okay to admit that you have fear, but it's necessary that you admit you have faith as well. and allow God to transform the renewing of your mind by your thinking, and allow faith to have more weight in that thought process. There is a lot of fear today. COVID-19 has spurred on a lot of fear. In fact, it has a lot of faces. Fear has a lot of cousins, and you may have met these cousins recently. Feelings of being scared. Yeah. Overwhelmed. Absolutely. Nervous. So far, probably all of you have experienced all three of those, and possibly all at the same time. The cousin of fear that I think more people are wrestling with right now is worry. Do Bible-believing, Holy Spirit-filled people, do they worry? Yes. Worry, like fear, it's that teeter-totter, and it's the battlefield of your mind that God's got good thinking, good faith believing in your spirit, but your mind is arguing this because you're watching the social media news again. How many of you have witnessed a lot of people sharing some amazing scripture verses during this time? I have thoroughly been blessed by our community changing. Do you know people are more friendly than they used to be right now? People are talking on Facebook and encouraging, all kinds of great scriptures. But you know, there's one scripture I haven't seen posted lately. Maybe it's a verse that we struggle with, because like you, I like to pick and choose the verses that fit. But what about out of Philippians chapter 4? Verses 6 through 7. It says, do not be anxious. What's another word for anxious? Worry. Wow. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. But in nearly all situations, in every situation, by prayer and petition, and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Result? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, thinking, will guard your hearts in Christ Jesus. Wow. But wait a minute. Pastor, did you just say Paul told us not to worry about anything? Obviously, Paul had nothing to worry about in his life. We have a lot of valuable, significant things that are causing worry and fear in our lives. I'm not dismissing that. But I want to compare it to what Paul went through. See, at this point, Paul was already thrown in jail at least once, beaten several times, kicked out of every synagogue possible, chased out of town, ridiculed. I think he understands some of our feelings and what we're struggling with today. CrossFit people who are trying to be transformed into the person that God wants them to be, it begins with the renewing of your mind and how we handle fear and worry. I like that Paul said, don't be worried or anxious about anything, but it's hard to do. How do you do that? And I want to tell you the two things that I do when I start getting overwhelmed by worry and fear. And maybe you can take this as an encouragement. The first thing I'm going to do when I'm on that teeter-totter of fear, worry, and faith is I'm going to first go to God's Word. That's usually not what people do at first. What does God's Word say? And so I want to take out our Bibles this morning. I hope you have your Bibles. And when I was wrestling with this, there's some scriptures, some passages that just jumped right out at me. I'm not going to spend a lot of time looking at them and explaining them, but I want to make sure you know what they are. And in a moment, there's going to be some scriptures, and you can turn to them right now, or you can just highlight them in just a little bit. I first looked at this. I went to Psalm 103, verse 19. It says, the Lord has made heaven his throne, and from his throne in heaven, he rules over everything. The very first word I went to is like, God is still on the throne. I know that. That's my positive thinking. He is still on the throne. And from his throne, everything is under his rulership. So that should give us hope and comfort that even the COVID-19 cannot bump God off of his throne. And that's something I celebrate that. Then what about Psalm 23, have you ever heard of the Psalm 23? Verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil. And even though we are going through trials, testing, it could be as fearful as death. God says he will be with us through those valleys. And then he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But then what if you turn over to the book of Isaiah? I love Isaiah. I've been reading Isaiah again, and I really liked chapter 40, verse 41. But let me read chapter 41, verse 9. It says, I have called you back, God said to Israel. I have called you back from the ends of the earth. Why? Because Israel was, they were cast out. They were taken captive again, and God brought them back to Israel. He said to this, you are my servant, and I have chosen you, and I will never throw you away. That reminds me that I am God's son. You are God's daughter. We are his children. And even though we may rebel and cause consequences of sin, which is probably the worst virus you could ever have, which is also contagious, he says, I'll never abandon you. I'll always, even though you might be scattered like we are today, I will call you home because I have chosen you. Well, you go back just forward a few more verses or chapters to chapter 54, verse 17, and you remember that it says, there is now no weapon formed against you that will prosper. COVID-19 is not greater than God's agenda. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, not even this. I take great comfort in that. And then you could go all the way into the New Testament, and you could go to John chapter 14. He says, I am leaving, Jesus said this to his disciples, I am leaving you with a gift. You know what that gift is? Peace of mind. And that peace that I give you as a gift, the world, it can't give you. It can't duplicate. So don't be troubled. Or don't worry, remember what I have told you. I may be going away, but I'm coming back. Now, don't you take rest in God's word. Those few verses should trump the feelings of fear and worry in you because God is still on the throne. The key to overcoming feelings of fear is faith. We too easily focus on the problem. I fixate on the problems all the time. Fear and worry. But this didn't catch God off guard, and God can actually use this to his agenda. And I've heard some crazy postings, and I've heard some crazy people on TV and Facebook and other things about what this is. No, it is not Armageddon, and no, the coming of the Lord is not right now, but I do believe it's proving to us again that we are in the season of end times, and we are in the birthing pains. A mother, before a mother gives birth, she has what? Contractions. And she's getting ready for the birth. The birth of the second coming of Christ, the second advent, isn't here yet. We are in the process of the pains of what's to come. And I find it very, very comforting that God says, I'm going to be with you. Do you know there's more verses that God talks about being with you in troubled times than good times? Could God be doing something in our midst through this COVID-19? Yes, he is doing something. Scripturally, he says he never does anything without purpose. And the problem is we're so focused on the problem, we don't see if there's a purpose behind it. But those who are Romans 12:2 people, their minds are being renewed, they're being transformed because they're thinking, wait a minute, here's the problem. What could be behind the problem? And it's usually once we get through the problem, we start seeing what was behind the screen. Wave your hand if you understand what I mean by that. Here's an illustration that perfectly explains what this is. Ever seen that before? White light. The light that comes from any source, it's white. But actually, what is white light made out of? 7 different colors. When all of them come together, what do they make? White. Now, just because you can't see the red, the orange, the violet, the blue, does that mean they're not there? No, they're there. It's obvious right there. How many of you know that right now we have gravity? Do you see gravity? I don't see gravity. The results of gravity, but we don't see gravity. When we see the problem, maybe the white light, we have to remind ourselves with good thinking that God's got this and he's got a plan. We may not see the plan, but through the renewing of our mind, the prism, the spirit, we begin to see things spiritually. I believe that COVID-19 is a mechanism that God is choosing to use to push people towards him and to push the church out of the building. We need to be the church scattered. Have you ever heard that before? I need you to be my reds, my oranges, my yellows, my violets, my blues. And I know Doug and Barbie, they do the orange very, very well. We need to be God's body filled with his living color. And when someone is fixated on the color, the problem, we need to be positive encouragement and say, you know what? There's more to it than just that. And God's got this. Wave your hand if you're with me on this. Second thing I think that God is wanting me to share with you about this teeter-totter between faith and feelings is that, number two, that believers, transforming believers, should always learn how to identify, to understand the enemy in the battle. How many of you think you know what this COVID-19 virus is and how it began? There are 500 rumors out there about what it is and where it is. We don't know the battle. We don't know the enemy. I just want to give you a verse. It's in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle, and right now, are we struggling? Is not against COVID-19. No, the flesh and blood. But our true struggle is against rulers and against authorities and against powers of this dark world and against spiritual forces of evil that are in the heavenly realms. I say that verse to remind you that our battle is a spiritual battle being fleshed out among us. And our true enemy is not COVID-19. But the enemy of Jesus, Satan, is using it to distract us from God, to detour us from God. Now, we know that we live in a fallen world, and I know that this virus is a result of living in a fallen world. And this world is going to get worse, worse, and worse. But the saints need to get better, better, and better, transformed by the renewing of our mind. I don't have time to talk about this, but I went back 4 years ago, and we talked about worry, because I felt it was really, really important to understand and to identify our emotions. And that's what I've been trying to learn throughout these years in Celebrate Recovery, is that I need to understand fear. I need to understand worry. I need to know where they're birthed from, how it's affecting me today, and how I need to fix it so it doesn't affect me tomorrow. And so we need to understand, as mature believers, we need to understand who the ultimate battle is against: the fallen forces in this world. And I remembered we went to the gospel, and we don't have time to go to it, but Jesus was teaching the disciples on the Sermon on the Mount. And there's 3 or 4 chapters there, and he talked about these verses out of Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 on. And I like how he begins, how he says the very first thing, don't worry about anything. And if you look at, when we're done, I think you should maybe spend some time at Matthew chapter 6. Jesus didn't only tell us not to worry, he also explained why worry is worthless. And what I shared with you a few years ago is we helped understand why worrying is actually worthless to your spiritual health, to your physical health, and to your mental health. We talked about in verse 25 that worry is unreasonable. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about your clothes. Worry about what's important. The things that I worry about in God's scheme really is not of value. But for me, I fixate on those little things. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, fix your eyes on what is not seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. When we worry about the things like COVID-19 and toilet paper, it seems unreasonable sometimes all the energy that is put towards the things that we're going to go without. What's really important is our neighbor experiencing this without the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Is our community hearing from the church or not about the hope that can be found in Christ Jesus? And then we understand that worry is unnatural. It's unnatural? Yeah, for believers with a renewing of their mind and the Spirit of God in them, worrying is unnatural. He says in verse 26, Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the air. Don't they sow and reap and store away in barns? And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Do you think God's going to abandon his people? Nowhere in Scripture do we find that God abandons his people. But he says, if you ask, you'll receive. If you knock, I'll open. If you seek, you'll find. If you turn from your wicked ways, I'll heal your land. We understand that it's unnatural for us to worry because, one, our Heavenly Father cares about us. He cares. Do you notice he says this? He doesn't describe the birds as having their Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. Worry is also unhelpful. Verse 27, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" Worry can't make you taller, shorter, bigger, stronger, smarter. Worry can't make you even more spiritual. Worry can't add anything to your life. It only subtracts from your life. Worry is stewing without doing. Worrying is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. The only thing that worry can do is make you miserable for today and not look forward to tomorrow. That worry is basically unbelief. Yeah, that's a hard one. Jesus said again in Matthew chapter 6, verse 32, he says, "Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And jump down to verse 34, it says, "For even the pagans, they run after these things, but your heavenly Father knows exactly what you need." Basically, when you give over to worry, you're doubting that God is still on the throne. Now, I know that we all have moments of worrying, but I'm talking to those of us who decide to camp in worry and fear. And when we camp in worry and fear, we basically kick God out of the situation, that God can't do anything. I don't know about you, but I see over and over that God is the God of what seems to be impossible. We can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens us. We can get through this. There is hope. There is help. Hope follows. And we need to help our neighbors, our co-workers, our community. We need to help them see beyond the crisis and see Christ. Close with this verse. It's real simple. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. "Have I not commanded you, not encouraged you, not prompted you, but have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Don't be frightened and do not be dismayed." I think that's another word for worry. "For the Lord your God is with you. Wherever you go, he sticks closer to you than what? A brother. He is there with you." So my friends, it's okay to worry. It's natural. But as a person with a transforming mind by the indwelling Spirit, you can't choose to stay there. You can say, "God, I've got this fear. I've got this worry. What does your word say about it?" And really, is what is worry? What is fear? And use that encouragement from the word this morning. So I want to challenge you to take your word this morning. Or here, just take Craig's word right now. Just take it and use it. And whatever you're struggling with, ask the Lord, "What did you already say about it? For it is a lamp unto your feet and a light for your path."